bitch ass up, nigga. Fuck you to anyone that claimed that they got me. When my heart was low, it turned to comma, comma. What's happening about my gallery open to spurs? The truth is everything we need. You're listening to the Draft Podcast. Welcome to the Draft Podcast.
Do live from the foot of your mama's bed. It's the Draft Pod.
And we're tickling your mama's toes right now. That's the sound of tickling.
This little piggy got addicted to crack.
That's not what I do at the end of the bed.
Oh, God.
Ooh, he's lotioned them feet up.
That's the listener's mom you're talking about, Drew.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. What up, Terry?
Oh, man.
Good Lord.
Look, if it ain't got bunions, son.
If it ain't got bunions, I don't want none, son.
Well, like last year, we went for 52. Time to look back before we start the brand new. In January, we drafted the best drunk foods. Goshi came on for an all-Andy feud. We gave our flowers to people old as shit. Then moved to February, where we brought Wes on for Leo vs. Pitt. We drafted all things we love about James and brought on a con man for frontman games. In March, we got blessed with the cheese. I ain't saying, but Drew said ginger, please. We drafted fourth installments of movies we endure, then dipped into April paying respects to serials no longer here. April, we celebrated wet month, shouts to your mum. Drafted songs, rain scenes, and brought on Scrump. In May, we did it for the kids. Drafted orphans, then sad scenes with Grace Nunez. Here at Draft Pod, we only work in facts. We finished out that month drafting series finales with Mr. Truwax. June is always JU month with the crew. Ben West saw in solo from mustaches to discontinued food. July, we made up cereals and became desperate housewives. Brought on Shane from locals to draft apps of our lives. In August, James gifted us the draft of birthday desserts. Celebrated 50 years of hip-hop and brought back BC, which made James hurt. We had kindred spirits in Ty and Vinny, shouts to Jesus. And drafted comedy horrors and Simpsons side pieces. In September, Drew turned the big 4-0. So we brought back Scrump and drafted songs of places we know. Andy introduced a new game to the Fells. We drafted yellow things and all the best smells. For Halloween Takeover, Courtney kept his streak of creating new rules. BJ came on for State Affairs and dominated us fools. November, we took it back to 93 in film and music. We hit episode 350. We honestly hope we've been somewhat therapeutic. In December, we did white things like cocaine. I think you should leave, but we trying to pop champagne. Another year in the books for the pod I adore. In 24, you people had enough? Give me some more.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Man, that was fucking awesome.
Just dropped that busta rhyme.
Yeah.
That's right. Bust a bust.
That was great.
Oh, just a little year-end recap, you know?
Yeah, that's very nice. You know, and if you just heard that and you thought, man, I wanna know about one of them things, you know, hey, that's there for you.
There you go.
One of them things is there for you.
It's,
you know?
It's there for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Go back. That's what I'm saying. Go back. There's a lot of, we got a lot of entertainment for people. You can go
we
back.
Do.
Go back to the beginning, not to the
you
beginning.
Know, I say it a lot, but this is one of my favorite episodes of the year.
Yeah.
Every time I do a lot of research into it, I think we all take it very seriously.
Andy's
it's our
a,
award show. You
Andy's
know?
A known list guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very much so. Very
he loves
much
to
so.
Rank shit.
Yeah.
I got a top 50 songs. I got a top 50 albums. Maybe I'll, I don't know. Maybe I'll drop that for Raven Sheedy. Who knows?
Just, you're going to list all 100?
Well, just, I would just do albums. I would just do albums. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where the wind blows me.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
So, last year, just to take us back in time, these are our categories to get everybody familiar.
Rewind.
Yeah, a little rewind. A little rewind. For breakout music artist.
That was actually James really Cook. Fucking good.
Like, yeah, it was.
That rewind
I was
sound.
Trying to Drew, with it.
I swear to God, Drew should fucking voice cartoons.
Oh, man. He should.
All right, go ahead.
But for breakout music artist, James, you took Paris, Texas. I took Quedeca. And Drew took Joey Valance and Bray. The interesting thing about this,
yeah,
I had two artists on my
two of them
breakout
are
going to
show
artists.
Up again.
they probably will. But I had two of these artists, or no, one of these artists as my breakout artist for this year, not even realizing that this artist was on the last year list. Mm-hmm. But it was Paris, Texas, James.
Oh, okay. Fuck. Hell yeah.
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 I had that like on my like, so I'm going to go with the other one because you had Paris, Texas last year. But that proves how sometimes like ahead of the curve we are.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That was Paris,
you
Texas.
Fucking nailed
is,
it, James.
Thanks. Is Lars's kid?
Mm-mm.
It, what is it? Lars Ulrich?
No. Because these are two black rock rappers.
Oh, what was that one?
Oh god!
It was something. It was some
it
sort
was
of...
something like that. It was some yeah. sort of city thing.
Yeah.
Gosh.
It doesn't matter. Austin,
yeah.
maybe.
Yeah, it could have been. But yeah, so that was our breakout music artist for best song. James had Steve Lacy with Bad Habit. I had Kendrick Lamar with The Heart Part 5, and Brock Hampton was Drew's with Big Pussy, which you heard just open the show.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Fantastic. For best movie, James, you had The Batman. I had A Knives Out Story, Glass Onion, which interesting enough, I like looked on my list and it's like number 3 or 4 on my list. So I don't know what I did there. And Drew had Clerks. For best performance in a movie, James, you had Chris Evans in The Gray Man. I had both of the dudes from RRR. And Drew had Brendan Fraser in The Whale, who ended up winning.
Yeah, fucking A. Yeah,
so pretty freaking sweet. Breakout movie or TV star, James, you had Sunita Mani from Spirited. I had Stephanie Sue, I think, from Everything Everywhere All at Once. And Drew had Millie Alcock from House of Dragon,
House
I believe.
Of Dragon. Yeah.
Yeah, for best show, I had Drew, or James, you had The After Party. I had Barry. Drew had Better Call Saul. We'll just leave it there. That's too much talking. You get the gist.
Yeah.
That was last year. On to a new year. We did make a change in one of the categories, and
it's ever evolving.
It is. We decided
with the people.
Exactly to replace one of our breakouts with best episode, which we thought would be a lot of fun and add to it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I'm pumped about this. I love this type of shit. And this is like the perfect way every year to either end/start the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking back on the year prior.
Fucking A. Well, let me roll these balls then. Drew?
Why don't you go to jabroniu.com and check out all the great shows on the Jabroni U Network, such as Why Do We Ever Meet, Biff Radio, New Jabroni Pro Wrestling, Flow and Tell, Locals After Hours, Ceramic Cat, and much, much more. And don't forget to check out all of our great archives, like James said. We've got some fucking bangers out there. Guys, it's almost been fucking 8 years. Seven years.
Seven years. Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like a third of a drinking age.
Yeah. That's like one dog year.
Dude, that's like once I've hit 7 years or something like that.
Yeah. I guess we're all starting to get the itch then, huh?
Mm-hmm. Dude, yeah. That's like up.
It is. It is. Yeah. It took me a second, but it is. I immediately went to the movie, and I had to like process, and I was like, "No, that cannot be what he means." Hell yeah!
I just got it. That took me that long. Seven up. It took me that long. Like whatever Drew got it in, I was like another 20 or 30 seconds late on it.
Yeah, I think I probably speak Andy better than anybody. It's not perfect. It's not perfect, but I understand.
Oh, well, I was in the middle of doing stuff too, so that's my reasoning. Fuck. All right, well, Drew, you got first pick.
Okay.
James, you got second, and Andy, you're third. I just looked at myself and said, "Jane," like as if I'm talking.
I know. That's James's new thing for the 2024.
Oh, I love that.
He's going to be like Ricky Henderson.
Yeah, I'm going to do everything James says this year is going to be in third person.
Dude, I'm into that.
Today, I'm the greatest of all time.
James is into it too.
James is getting upset.
Oh, man. So yeah, how we're doing this is how the cookie crumbles is how it crumbles. It's just going to be serpentine style the whole way, and we'll see where it takes us. So Drew, you're up first with breakout music artist.
All right. Again, this time I'm definitely always late to the game, but I'm going to go with one because they've had some, but it was just one that I've like stumbled across this year and fucking dug them. It brings me back to when I was a little child just getting into hardcore, and I'm going with the band Never Ending Game. Like I said, I think they might have three albums out by now, but I don't know. I really like it, but I should have looked at the thing. Their album this year was called Outcry. And
Never Ending Game.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never heard of this, so I'm excited to kind of.
Yeah, it's very, like I said, it's very like 90s style hardcore, which I fucking love.
Metal.
Yeah.
Metal. What is there like a song that people should hear from this album? Like. Tank on E? Is that like a remake
yes,
of
that's
Tank
the one,
on
that's
Me?
The one.
Tank on E.
Yeah.
Tank on E!
It's like, it's an interpolation.
Yeah.
Let's hear a little Tank on E.
It's actually a 2018 political agenda song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Take a knee.
Oh, I'm into this.
I like it too. It's got like the musicality of like that emo pop or the emo punk, like pop punk kind of feel.
Plus, they're all like, they're Detroit based, so all their logos, like the D in Never Ending, is always the Detroit D. So,
yeah, even on the album cover, it's got like a 3D version of the D on there.
Yeah,
dude, I like that. Actually, I would listen to that.
Yeah, good shit, man. Good shit.
Shit, hell yeah. All right, James, your turn.
Put us on again, damn.
Okay,
put him on the glass.
And I don't even want to, I don't even want people to think that I'm pandering here, because I really think that this person deserves this spot as breakout artist, especially with the amount of singles that he has released this year. And I'm going Cash K. Allen. Up in this bitch.
I love that.
And I'm not even fucking pandering. I mean, my God. Dude,
I almost went with something kind of similar.
Yeah. I'm going to play the song Alone because that that is a song that Cash released this year that I actually like. I don't know. I was going through my own shit in 2023, and this song helped me to think about and get through that shit, you know? So, yeah. Not even pandering. Legit.
I love that, man.
Fucking legit.
Don't, just don't anybody tell him.
Yeah.
We don't need him getting inflated.
But I have, like, I have this song. I'm actually, you know, K.A. had a song release in 2023 as well. That was that was a big help for me, too.
I don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Dude. This shit gives me Audio Garden State vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I love the bendy guitar in the background, too, of this song. Like, the production... Yeah. It's so fucking good, man. Cash is really coming into his own. And, dude.
I dig his voice, too, man.
Live shows, he's got a great fucking voice. Like, he's only going up from here, you know, if you're asking me. I don't know if anyone's asking me, but...
Yeah, look out for his album coming next year.
It would be...
3 years to cancel.
It would be wild... As a 17-year-old, if it were only going down from here.
Well, it's getting worse since the first thing he released.
The opioid epidemic's really hitting Cash.
Got addicted to boner pills.
Yeah. Just walking around knocking shit off the counter.
Yeah.
You broke all my... porcelain statues.
He did that joke one time. Everybody laughed, and he longed for those same laughs again.
He's been the boner guy ever since.
I don't know what happened to you, man. You used to be about the music. Now you're just about boner pills.
All about boner pills, man. You gotta lay off that shit.
Get out!
You did a whole album titled Stiffy, dude. What the fuck?
And
it's
you put
Us or the Boner Pills.
And it's a double album.
You strummed your guitar with your dick the entire time.
You were only playing two notes.
Fuck. You open the double album, and each disc is a ball, like a ball side of a ball sack.
And the lyrics just pop up on like a baseball thing in the middle.
It's like it's a pop-up book in the middle with a fucking... I'm going to restart your timer because we kind of...
It's a double dick.
Oh! The double dicks.
Double dick album.
All right.
Yeah.
I restarted you, so you're...
All right. This fucking dude is just a vibe and a half. I was on my R&B shit. There's a little, like, R&B fluidness here with a little bit of hip-hop sensibilities. It's kind of, like, in that middle space that I fucking love. Dude from California. He's got a tiny desk out as well, so check that out. But it's Jordan Ward.
Jordan Ward.
Big ass fan of him. Fam Jam 4000 was in contention for my best song of the year, but because I'm announcing him as my breakout music artist, and I can say, James, play that Fam Jam 4000, I get to knock off two birds, one stone, you know? It's a beautiful thing.
So Fam Jam it is.
Yeah.
We're fam jamming.
Mm-hmm.
Fam jamming?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be fam jamming too.
Holy shit. I love it. We can definitely bring the love back. Man, I am fucking moving right now. That is a fam jam. fam.
It is. It's a fucking
that's a damn jam, fam.
Dude, I love the beat behind it. Just how he fucking glides over that shit and how, like, it's his voice is, like, super smooth but also super fucking laid back.
Yeah.
But there's energy in it all at once. Like,
his voice reminds me.
Those three things is wild.
His voice reminds me of another really famous guy, but, like, singing-wise. And I'm trying to think of who it is, but it's more of a rapper's voice, but this guy's, like, singing with that rapper's voice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking great. And it gives me some of the vibes of, like late 80s, early 90s kind of thing.
Yeah,
I really fucking like it. His album, Forward.
What was the guy's name that dated Janet Jackson for a long time, or maybe even married her?
You're talking about JD, Jermaine Dupri?
Jermaine Dupri. Does he have a bit of a Jermaine Dupri voice? Am I wrong on that?
His is more effortless.
Yeah.
Dupri, you can tell he's like kind of trying in a way.
Oh, I want to just hear like.
I hear a little bit of kind of what you're going at, though.
What's like a good Jermaine
Dupri song? Also, I think Jordan Ward is from St. Louis, so I don't know where the California thing came from, but. There you go.
Man, everything for Jermaine Dupri is all like featured. It's all featured on it.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Here we go. Let's hear this real quick.
Luda.
Yep.
Him and his plain Jane white wife.
Yeah.
It's a little bit Jermaine Dupri.
I can see what you're saying.
A little bit. All right.
But, all right. Yeah.
I'm just glad I got there. You know, I'm glad I got there.
Yeah. I like it. All right. So, next one we got is... Best song
of the year. Song of the year.
Yeah. I was back and forth on a lot. Like I said, I definitely was, I had an R&B year. But I'm going with a song that combines some singing, some great fucking music instrumentation, some dope ass rapping. And it's a song that features one of the best flutists in the game, but he's rapping here. Who knew? Who knew this guy that plays the flute can actually fucking rap? I'm going Scientists and Engineers by Killer Mike featuring Andre 3000, Future, and Aaron Allen Kane. Album's absolute fire as well, but this song just fucking does it to me. It has everything you can look for in a song. It's not just one note. It's a bunch of different things happening, and it's like three generations almost of Atlanta with Andre, with Killer Mike, and with Future on it. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah, this thing's fire. Second wind. Small potatoes, all I ate before potatoes. I would pray that you connect me to a sip of sangria, Zambia, camera, cameo, hand me a handful of hips. A stamina, stampede of happily happenings, dabbling into a blip. The neon, beyond the ambience, be honest, you promised that you will live.
God, I love Andre so much. Put your muscle like a kid. Cucumber will make a trip. Do jump on a hit a split. Flute album of the year. You get
lantern in it, bitch. Boiler.
Boiler. I got the streets in the head like fly, just like a skydiver. Spill, I can get manslaughter.
Suicide door on the Range Rover. Depending on the time I was laying up. Man, that's amazing. This is amazing.
We gotta get a little mic in here. Trying to avoid cameras, break my heart. Trying to avoid cameras. I keep shit loaded like a panda. Learn how to turn a trap out to a mansion. Watch me watch the world take my pain and
Should have just skipped ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
There we go. I love that beat, too. It seems like the beat was made by scientists and engineers.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Yeah, it's fucking amazing, though, and the musicality you get, like, all of these strings and other things that are happening in the background. It's you know, it's an experience. It's not just a song.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. All right, back to me. I haven't really talked about this much, but I have really been into this band called Blondshell, who also probably could have been a breakout artist of the year, just because this was their first album and it came out 2023. So, and the album is called Blondshell, self-titled. But there's a song on this album called Veronica Mars that, like... Oh. It just, I don't know, I have it on my playlist, and every time it pops on, I almost, like, it, when the song's over, I hit back just to hear it again. Like, that's how much I love this song. So, and it's just like a chick rock band, you know?
So it's Veronica Mars is by who?
Blondshell.
Blondshell.
Yeah. The whole album, Blondshell, is very good. I have, like...
That's a throwback, too. It's nice.
I have, like, 3 to 4 songs from that album on my daily playlist. But the whole album is fucking bomb as hell, so...
Hell yeah.
Highly recommend.
Blondshell.
Blondshell. And it's all blondes. It's not like that band Four Non-Blondes.
Four Non-Blondes, you know? Yeah.
They're all blondes.
Yeah. What's going on there? Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Drew.
And I look at the mirror at the corner.
Well.
It was such a derogatory for, like, the Four Non-Blondes are crying right now.
Dude, it's not worse than that fucking He-Man thing.
Oh yeah.
All right. Am I on the clock?
You're on the clock.
You're up.
All right. My initial reaction was to go with you know, the song we did a whole podcast about because it came out this year with Now and Then by the Beatles. But I, too, actually, like I said, I had something a little bit close to the Cash Cow Allen thing. Cash Cow Allen. I have In the Dark by Something Strange.
Ooh.
Friend of the show, yeah. Vinny. Yeah, man, like, his the shit he's been putting out this year is just fucking killed it.
That's so good.
So fuck me. Am I right on the piece of shit here?
Yeah,
I didn't take Vinny. I didn't take Cash. I took fucking Killer Mike and Jordan Ward.
You didn't take Hotel Satellite.
Oh, you're a real piece of shit. What's the name of the song?
In the Dark.
I don't know if I can pull
it. It should be on.
Maybe this is the.
Well, I guess I'll just send in my resignation.
Oh, here we go. Got it. In the Dark.
Oh, that was last year, wasn't it? It was January?
It was an EP, though.
Yeah.
The song Stumbling Through is the song that I really fucking love that song. I fucking love
that. That one That was the first one, but this one, I think, is they kicked it up a notch.
Oh, yeah.
They fucking Emeralds would go see that.
And Vinny's fucking awesome.
In every way.
Hell yeah.
Fuck, that's so good.
So fucking good.
You know what else is good? The outside of his ankles, that bone. He's got the best outside ankle bone in the game.
Fucking A. That's one of the things I've heard about him, when people talk about him.
So you're like, Vinny, you talk about the dude with the sweetest outside ankle bone in the game?
Yeah, they say you see them outer
ankles. At Vinny?
You see that dude's outer ankles?
Yeah.
Outer ankles?
You heard of teen ankles? He's got some...
He's got outer ankles.
He's like a full-grown man with teen ankles. You know? His ankles are like beautiful.
Whatever you do, do not look on the other side of his leg.
Oh, no.
The
inner ankles? His inner ankles.
Oh.
Yeah. But his outer ankles.
I like to be on the Outer Banks looking at his outer ankles, you know what I mean? You know he's shoeless out there on the Outer Banks, you know?
Dude, yeah. Don't make him fuck around and do some outer pranks. Yeah. When he gets inside, you know, it's an inner spank.
Yep. All right, so I guess I'm going to double dip.
That was something
a little bit.
Strange right there. All right.
From last year.
Oh.
Because I'm going to go with the album that came out this year, Punk Tactics.
Yeah.
Dude, this one was just... I mean, I was waiting on it for so long, and it delivered. It wasn't like, the fucking... You know, it wasn't Chinese Democracy. Like, it was like, this is exactly what I wanted as a full-length album.
It's fucking perfect.
I would play Start a Fight. That thing was fucking...
Yeah.
Fucking love it.
You know what's wild? Like, I had Street Pizza as my number one song off the album.
Oh, okay.
Which is, like, the most unlike the rest of the album.
Yeah, I feel like you can't go wrong with anything, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like they really fucking nailed the fucking Beastie Boy, like with that, like just going with some of that old school or like some of that Beastie Boy shit where it's just like, wait, is this Beastie Boys or is this just a rock
band? With new references?
Yeah, is this just a rock band? Like, you know, like that's the way some of their shit was. Fucking.
The album cover is awesome too.
Yeah.
Super like 90s. Hell yeah. No.
Yeah, he's easily one of my best finds. I actually sent this to somebody I knew that works and the music field, and they were like, holy shit, I've put so many other people onto this. This same thing, just because it gave them the same vibes that, like, you know, we got from this. It's just like when I want to feel good, you know, or just like just drive and feel alive, like this shit every time. Punk Tactics, this album.
Hell yeah. All right, back to me.
I feel like I really got back into my, my anger.
Your roots.
Yeah. Just with
music. I think we all kind of, it is interesting. I think we all kind of did.
It's all that, like, motivation, right? Like, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like back to the shit you were doing, Drew or James, like, back to some of the shit, like, he would listen to like in the 90s. And yeah. Same thing with me. A lot of the shit that I would listen to in the 90s, like the R&B, that's
definitely
that's crazy.
I'm trying to decide if I want to go, because there was an album that really helped me through my 2023, but then there was another album that came out later in 2023 that like fucking blew me away. So it's hard for me to determine and decide. You know what? It's 2024 now, so I don't even talk about what happened in 2023 anymore. So I'm going to go with the second one. And I'm going to go with Nas, Magic 2, as my album of the year.
Magic. Yeah.
Isn't that the one?
I think it's Magic 3.
Oh.
Yeah, I think Magic 2. Well, did Magic 2 also come out in 2023?
I think it did.
Oh, it did. Okay, so Magic 2 and Magic 3 both came out in 2023.
Well, I'm going with Magic 2 because I want to play the song. Like, this song fucking is amazing. And every time it pops on, it fucking gets me ecstatic. So I'm going to go with Irvin Magic Johnson. I just love this fucking song so much. And this album is fucking legit from top to bottom. Yeah.
I thought this was 2022 in my head.
Really?
Yeah.
And Nas goes, like, hasn't lost a fucking step, dude. And can stand up against anybody of today, right now. And we got to see him live in 2023.
Yeah.
So, I mean, fuck.
Like, I cannot argue anybody that has Nas as their number one overall after his run of, like, he's on a fucking LeBron run where you're like, the fuck?
Yeah, dude.
He's still averaging 30 and 30 and 10 and 5. Like, what? He's still, like, dunking from just a step inside the free throw line. What?
Dude, I know. Huh? I know.
Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, Andre, as much as I love him, and he'll do a feature that blows your dick in the dirt, and then he'll hit you with a flute album. He's like, I don't really have shit to rap it about at 50. And Nas is like, I got all the stuff.
Yeah, he's like, I do. He's like, you want some of my stuff?
Yeah.
Dude, the song What This Really Means is so fucking good. The song Bokeem Woodbine is so fucking good. The song Abracadabra is fucking awesome. Like, the album is legit as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Abracadabra.
Well, I am getting back in my R&B bag, because that's just what my fucking, like, I'd be lying to you guys if I didn't, you know, say that, you know? Yeah. Which is wild on the 50th year of hip-hop, like, I just had so much fucking R&B. But this album blew me away. It's like my comfort. Like, it's like Silk Sonic's like baby sister put out an album. And that's you're going to hear it and you're going to be like, oh, I get what he's saying. It's Victoria Monet. And it's Jaguar 2 is the name of the album. Just the name of the album, smooth as shit. The song that I'm going to go with is Cadillac, in parentheses, A Pimp's Anthem.
Is she Janelle Monae's?
No, they're actually spelled different. Janelle Monae is M-O-N-A-E.
Oh.
And she is M-O-N-E-T.
That's, dude, because I almost picked Janelle Monae's. I almost picked
Age
one
of
her
Pleasure.
Songs. As one of my top songs.
Is it Mercedes Monet?
Yes.
Yeah. Mercedes is an even different one. Float is one of my favorite songs of the year, too.
Dude,
but,
I almost picked it, yeah.
This one just, like, this is, like, dripping in swagoo, you know?
Cadillac, A Pimp's Anthem.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Oh,
I remember, I think you sent this to the group or something this mm-hmm. year. Who would have thought Janelle Monáe's sister changed her last name spelling, you know? Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Here we go. Give me this one part. Here it comes.
I can totally see where you love this, Andy. This...
I can't say that part, but it is sweet!
This gives me serious Miseducation vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Like the rap and singing.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying? Like Silk Sonic's like baby sister, it feels like, you know?
I like the idea of a girl doing a Pimp's Anthem too. You know what I mean? Like
breaking down
gender norms, you know what I mean?
Dude, she's got a line that is fucking fire. Oh god, I forgot, but it's like this it's like a double on Dick in Bed and Dick Embedded. So fire.
Andy loves a good double if for those who don't know.
She's got fucking bars in this thing and she's just singing. But yeah, and she's got an even bigger song that was like bigger, that was became a dance like viral thing. And like I think she's up for a Grammy and all that shit, so like finally Grammy's doing something good. But like, yeah, this whole fucking album is just a vibe and a half. I fucking love it. All right,
Money, that's Monáe.
That's right,
that's what she says. I'm like, that's out, that album's Money, and she's like, it's Monáe.
Right. Oh, she says 4K titties in one song.
Oh shit.
You won't even get a piece of this 4K titties. Oh, it's so, oh, woo, sorry, I was getting, whoo. All right. This one's been one that all three of us have been, like, I feel like struggling with almost all year in terms of, like, fuck, what's the best movie of the year?
Yeah.
What's my favorite movie of the year? And I was struggling with this for a while, even so much as going like, okay, like the one, I was like, I think I know what my number ones are, but then I was like, but those don't really grab me like the past years. And then finally I saw a movie that fucking did that. Mm-hmm. And it was at the end of the year, and it was me going by myself to the movie theater, calling off the rest of the day at work and walking in and not really expect, like, I've heard good things and all that. I was kind of dreading watching it to an extent, but then I fucking saw The Iron Claw and I was like, this is the best movie of the year.
Oh shit.
Like, it was what Zac Efron and Jeremy Allen White, the dude that played, you know, the dad, like, what they were all fucking doing was insane. It's easily Zac Efron's best acted movie in his career. I think this is, like I said, like his kind of, when people were like, Robert Pattinson, oh, you mean the Twilight guy? You know, I think this is like Zac Efron's getting out of High School Musical in people's minds. This is that role for him. Like, I don't know if either one, have you seen it yet?
Mm-mm. I haven't seen it, no.
Holy shit. Like, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, you know that, like, the people that know the story, and so they kind of know what they're walking into. Even though they, you know, definitely took some liberties here and there, but story's so well done. But then if you watch somebody that doesn't know what's coming, it's wild. It's an even different experience.
I don't have any idea what's coming.
Fucking amazing. It's
who are they playing? Like, who are they?
The Von Erich family, the Texas wrestling legends.
Okay.
There was, you know, a bunch of brothers, and there was the dad and all that kind of stuff, and they had their own territory and all that kind of stuff. But it was like fucking heart wrenching, and yeah, I cried several times in the movie. I was just like, shit, man. Wow. It's just awesome. It's amazing.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Fucking A. All right. Well, I guess I'm just going to, I mean, I kind of spoiled this today in the text thread, but I watched this movie this morning. So it's like, it's so fresh in my fucking mind right now.
Damn.
And it's 100% the best movie I've seen this year. And it's Ari Aster, the same guy who did Hereditary.
Yeah.
Like, Bo is Afraid is the movie. And when I tell you that it's fucking absolutely insane from beginning to end, like, that I can't, like, you're not even prepared for it just by me saying that. Like, it is such a wild ride from beginning to fucking end. And I still have no real clue. Like, I know what it means to me, but I don't know what it's going to mean to you or what it's going to mean to you or anybody else. Yeah. You know what I mean?
How off-putting was fucking Nathan Lane, too?
It was God, I know.
He gave me fucking, Lithgow vibes from Dexter. Or it's just like,
dude,
like, there's something fucking going on behind that fucking shit.
And like, that whole part, like,
yeah.
Like, and the whole thing, the whole time I'm thinking, like, because, like, I'm thinking literal to begin with, like, that the doctor gave him pills and he took too many of them, and this is like his reaction to it. You know what I mean? But I don't know. Like, I don't even think that's correct. I think this shit is actually happening to him, and it's like, you know what I mean? It's just absolutely fucking crazy that it's happening. I don't know. But ultimately what I got out of it is unrealistic expectations are something that you should try to avoid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that, like, that's really, and I actually, that's something that I think about, because I get that in my mind, where if I treat someone a certain way or if I do things a certain way, I kind of expect other people to do that the same way, but I can't expect that and I shouldn't expect that. You know what I mean?
Well, I say it, and I actually, like, mean it, even though I kind of joke about it. It's like, if the bar's on the ground, it's easy to step over.
Yeah.
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 Like, and I say that, like, just because, like, I feel like sometimes you can have these big goals in mind, but, like, if people don't do all these things, then they start to think of themselves as a failure instead of actually, like, recognizing the shit that they've done.
Yeah.
And so they forget to live in the moment and the good shit that happens, just because you're so constantly trying to chase something you think that you should be, only to realize, like, it's a disappointment because you didn't hit that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And exactly. You haven't even seen the movie yet. And that's what I'm saying. Like, whatever, Bo is within us all, and Bo is afraid. So whatever that fear is, that's Bo. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing that you're going to take from it. But the movie's absolutely insane. And visually it's fucking amazing. And the way that it goes from, like, adventure to adventure, and, like, everything changes. The entire fucking look and everything just changes with each section of his adventure.
Yeah.
And adventure, I don't even know if that's the correct term. Nightmare? Yeah. Fucking, I don't know, but it's fucking insane.
Drew, you want to round us out with another tragedy movie?
No. I don't. I'm going to go with one that, dude, I was so pleasantly surprised by when I watched it. And, like, honestly, it was just the first time that I feel like it's the first time I've had fun watching a movie in years. Like, everything's been so fucking heavy. And, like, you know, I think there's this fear that, oh, you can't be fucking funny because, oh, you know, the cancel police will get you and blah, blah, blah. And this movie did such a good job of, like, being funny and still being fucking, like, not crossing that line.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to the point of, like, making fun of the fact of, like, of racism. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And still, like, pulling it off in a way that isn't fucking hurting anybody or whatever. And I'm going to go with, and, like.
Sound of Freedom.
No, yeah. 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 Fucking AMC keeping it down. Totally Killer. This movie, yeah. It was the best way to describe it was Halloween meets fucking Back to the Future. And like it was so much fun. It was, like I said, it was just like a movie to fucking put on. I didn't have to, like, you know, I didn't have to go and be like, all right, what kind of depressing thing am I up for now? Like, it's like, as much as these movies are good and I love fucking, I love watching Bo is Afraid. Like, I thought it was really good. I've liked, you know, so many of these movies over the last couple years, but it gets so draining without that fucking balance,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Without like mix, it's just like, oh, like if I keep watching these, I'm going to be fucking Bo. Like, I'm going to want to stay in my fucking bed all day. Like,
yeah.
Like the shit, like
this. That's why I watch some terrible comedies.
Yeah,
I know they're not good.
Yeah, and like and like even that, like James, we watched that movie Strays, like when you were here, and it was like it was all right, but it was so, like, to me it was just like not quite edgy.
Yeah,
it was like to me it was like. Something your parents would be like, ah, that was good.
What's,
you know,
what's funny about that too is like I really was enjoying it watching it, and but I also knew that this is like subpar comedy. But
yes,
yeah.
But we're so like lacking in comedy movies, or you know what I mean? Like I enjoyed at least just having it. You know, it's there, and I can laugh a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
I feel you.
I agree, man. I we need the comedy, like,
yeah, and that's what was really well. We need it back. Yeah. I don't know if anybody's gonna bring it up, but like the machine, like that was really fucking fun. Like
it was, funny.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones. Like again, I've watched a lot of movies like this where I watch it, I enjoy it the time that I watch it. Mm-hmm. It's not so good that I'm going to watch it again, but in the moment I was watching it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it, and guess what? You may say it's bad, but I'm going to have a fond remembrance of the movie because I enjoyed my time while I was watching that movie.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what The Machine was for me. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Drew.
That being said, I'm going to go on the opposite fucking end of the spectrum probably like historically one of the most heaviest things that's ever happened to fucking mankind. And I'm going with Oppenheimer, but I'm going to go with Emily Blunt as, Patty. I think the wife, Kitty was the wife's name. Dude, if you haven't seen it, like she steals the fucking show. She played, you know, she plays the atypical, you know, 40s, 30s, 40s, wife, you know, alcoholic. Cause she's just stays at home and blah, 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 you know, but when it comes time to like, for her to be there and fucking like, you know, for, Oppenheimer, like she's the fucking rock. Like, it just proves that, like, that relationship they have so good. Like, this one time she basically tells him to fucking man up, and it's, like, a really fucking awesome, powerful scene. And then another time where she, like, there's another really cool part, but I don't, like, have you guys both seen it?
I have not, no.
Okay. If you watch, I don't want to ruin it, because, like, there's a part where she fucking, like, you know, comes back again, and you're just like, You're just like, whoa, like you just not expect it. You're like, fuck yeah, dude. But yeah, dude, it's a great movie and a fucking great performance.
I heard that at the end of that movie, they create the atomic bomb, and it's just a little bit too heavy for me.
It is one of those. Yeah.
See, that's one that that's like Ironclad. And I don't know the story, but this one, I've heard it.
They say it's the Titanic of land.
Yeah, the Lantana.
I mean, it kind of is. Like, you kind of go in knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it's that movie, as much as it is about that, it's more about the stuff that happens to him afterwards. Like,
oh, gotcha. You know,
getting blamed for being a communist, and like he went from this national hero to the, like, he was, you know, he was on trial for treason. So,
oh shit, yeah. He dropped a bomb on him, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Man. Fucking dude. Truth bombs.
You were a rapper and your name was Treason. Why wouldn't you go by T Reason?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, what reason do they have to not do that? All right, best performance in a movie. And I'm going to go with one Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Holdovers was really fucking good. And that his whole relationship with that kid, like, I don't know. The movie is like a feel-good movie of the year. It's like this generation's Oh Captain, My Captain. What was that movie with Robin Williams?
Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets. It's this generation's Dead Poets Society.
I haven't watched it yet, but just like I remember seeing the preview, like, fuck, I feel like last year. Like, I feel like I saw it so long ago, to the point where I was like, when it came out, I was like, that's just now coming out?
Yeah.
But I just remember seeing it and be like, oh, that looks like it's right up my fucking alley. Oh, it looks like one of those, what was the Focus features?
Yeah.
Like one of those from like mid-2000s that came out. Like, yeah.
It's exactly, it's really like it's a feel-good movie with, I don't know, just the performances are absolutely fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in it is fucking great. Yeah. But Paul Giamatti,
the relationship with him and the kid.
Yeah, it's so fucking, it's like so realistic, and everything that happens in the movie is like, it's just like, I don't know. It's sad, but there's some kind of hope. And by the time you get to the end, you're even though things, I don't know, I shouldn't even go any further than that, but it's not exactly what you want to happen, the ending to be, but it is what you want the ending to be. You know what I mean? You realize that's what you want the ending to be, you know?
People learn stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. It's really fucking great movie.
Yeah.
It's in my top 10, just didn't kind of crack the top one.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I'm
Paul Giamatti's performance, like that wild eye that he's got. Dude. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that alone gives him the fucking win, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, you had a wild eye in that? You're in, baby.
The funny thing is I was going to go with him in this role because I already went with the Iron Claw for movie, so I didn't want to double back with Zach because I like to give some different shit. So, I am not going to. I'm going to give it to Zac Efron. Fuck it. He deserves it. It's that good. Anybody who's seen it will know. Like I said, this is going to be his turn into, like, he can do everything, right? He's he can do all the comedy shit that he's done and all that stuff. But, like, this is, like, the first thing where you're like, oh, this dude can carry a movie. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm fucking going Zac Efron. I didn't think I was going to. But you know what? Like, if somebody asks me what was the best performance of 2023, that's the name I'm gonna say right off the jump. So that's where I'm going.
All right.
And James, you might have to type some stuff in because my mouse is dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, a little, background. Oh, there we are. All right. So, yeah, that was best movie and best performance. And up next on the potties, we got the new category.
Yeah.
It's one that all of us are excited about because Drew has been on this thing for a while.
Before we get going,
yeah.
Should we do Raven and Sheedy? We just finished the fifth round technically, so.
Oh, yeah. Let's hit it.
Oh, okay. Didn't we usually do that with this?
I don't know.
Fuck it. Let's keep going.
I think we should keep going. I mean, we got 13 picks apiece here.
Yeah. That's true. Three of them are honorables. Like, they're quick. So.
It's all Raven. This is 2023 Raven.
Yeah, that is true. This is a whole Raven episode. All right, so best episode. It's a tip Drew's been on for a while of, like, TV. And then James. And then me. And, like, literally, to everybody that's into movies. I love movies, too.
But and I don't like...
he absolutely crushed it in TV.
Yeah, and, like, to the Wesses of the world. I'm not saying that they're...
The Wesses of the world?
There's not good... No, there's other, like, you know, there are good movies out there. I just think, as a whole, I think this year, like there's just like I was looking and when I was looking at the list of everything that I was like, holy shit, that was 2023. Like it was insane. What the fuck dropped this year? And it was like on that fucking level. And you got that stuff where you're like, yeah, a lot of this stuff might be heavy, but it's also lighthearted and like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like it's really where that kind of stuff shines in. But
something I've noticed.
Yeah.
And this is just how it is where people get to grow with these characters and with these TV shows and all that kind of stuff. Also, characters get to grow with other characters so much so that the chemistry becomes way more than it ever might be on a movie because you don't get all of those episodes and all of these different things that happen where the characters can kind of build that chemistry. So... that shined through like crazy in 2023.
We'll get into that specifically, but like, fuck it. I'll just wait.
So that leads into my pick.
Okay.
Because so many different characters in this episode had stories that fucking just hit. Every story hit. Everyone resonated, whether it was like a quick, funny one, a deep one. They all had different backstories, and it was amazing. My favorite episode of the year is easily Sunflowers.
Dude, was fucking mine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Holy shit. It's the Amsterdam episode from Ted Lasso.
Yeah. I have to rethink. But, dude, yeah. And oddly enough, there could be two. I think they were both in Amsterdam, different shows.
Like
you said, if you would have told me at the beginning of this fucking show that you're gonna fucking love Jamie Tart, you're gonna love the fucking now I can't even remember his name, but the journalist, from the Independent.
Trent Krim.
Yeah. And then like if you were to tell me those two and then like Beard, like were your three favorite characters by the end, I'd be like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But this was crazy. So Rebecca, the owner of AFC Richmond.
Yeah.
She's got a great story where she falls off. Finally, like her phone is unworkable and she just falls into this situation that's super fucking awesome, and that's a cool time.
Yeah.
And then you get Roy Kent and Jamie Tart, like, this is while Roy is working him out like crazy, and Jamie's just loving it because he's in Amsterdam, and he doesn't figure it out, and they have a couple deep moments where, like, Roy talks about, like, why he hasn't got back on a bicycle in so yeah. long and all that.
Yeah, he didn't even couldn't even ride a bike. Like Jamie yeah. had to teach him how to ride a bike.
So there's all these things, and you got you know Trent Krem that follows the dude that's like being quietly gay, not being he's gay, but he's being quiet about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And he follows him, and they have a moment because Trent also is gay, and like yeah. you know it that's really good. But my two favorite things of the whole episode. Which made me feel like the episode was like, you know, shot directly for me.
Yeah.
I felt that way.
Yeah.
Was them going in the jazz club when like, it looked like he was going to try to get him laid or something, but they went in the jazz club and it was just like this, like, oh my God, like that's my heaven. That's my spot. Like if I could sit down and just listen to people doing jazz and like have a bourbon or something like,
mm-hmm.
that's like my groundedness. And then Ted, Jason Sudeikis, when he's in that bar, Chance the Rapper's overlooking him. They got the Bulls game on.
Yeah.
And he's going through the whole triangle thing and that yeah. sequence where his head's just there and there's triangles all over.
Yeah, because like, he's on mushrooms, right? Like, and
yeah.
He thinks yeah. he is, yeah.
Oh, but, yeah, yeah.
There was and the whole episode just fucking spoke to me, man.
That's amazing. Yeah,
I love it. He's like, when he comes back, and he's like, well, yeah, that's already a thing, but no, good job.
Yeah. Yeah, total football.
And so isn't this also like, this is like the
pillow
rest
fight
of
scene?
Yeah, the rest of the team trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, which I can relate to that. And then it looked like snow. It was just feathers yeah. from the pillows, and they were yeah. having the most fun ever.
Yeah, dude, that shit was so fun. Like, they're just, like, all trying to decide. Like, to me, that was great. They kept cutting back to it. Like, well, why don't we do this?
Yeah, yeah. yeah, and each story, like, every fucking story they did
yeah.
hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But, yeah.
Fucking A. All right. Back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't rewatch TV. I've rewatched that like 3 to 4 times this year.
I'm going to go with Dave.
Ooh.
With an episode of Dave.
Which one?
And I'm going to go with, it might surprise you, but this episode was just so fucking good to me. And the range that every character in the show showed in this episode was absolutely fucking amazing. And I'm going The Storm.
Oh.
And this is when the big girl who's a fan of Dave, he brings her up on stage and she gets booed by her hometown. Oh. And then next thing you yeah. know, they break down or whatever, and they have to go like hang out with her family during a fucking yeah. hurricane.
Yeah.
And her family is like these devout Christian people, and Dave can't understand it.
Yeah.
And then the whole situation with Gata and, mm-hmm. and his entire deal in the show, like
yeah.
he's got such a fucking range himself, and like,
yeah.
oh my God, it's so fucking amazing. And like,
yeah, I think this is another one where I text Andy, like, I was like, have you watched it yet? Like, just wait for Gata. Like,
yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
Gata fucking.
And I don't want to like, if people haven't seen Dave, like,
yeah.
Dave isn't just like a comedy about a rapper who has the name Lil Dicky. You know what I mean? Like, this show is like so introspective. It's crazy. Like,
yeah.
I remember, I think I talked about it on here even, like how like it's been, that last season was such like a comfort thing for me for whatever
yeah,
reason.
Yeah.
I connected to season 3 in like such a fucking way that was just like, on another
and talk
level,
about
like,
fucking topics that other people just for whatever reason have never mentioned mm-hmm. like
yeah.
before, and you're like, yeah. why has this never been a thing that's come up?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And how is there even stuff out there that hasn't come up yet? You know what I mean? Yes, like that's
yeah.
It's definitely in a realm of its own, and like yeah, I think people should definitely give Dave a chance. You may end up like becoming a little Dicky fan outside of it. You know what I mean? I bet you people have like a misconception that Lil Dicky is just a joke rapper. I guarantee that's out there. And
well,
I feel
funny,
like
yeah,
I feel like if they watch the show and they saw where he's coming from, like, it might change their opinion, you know?
Yeah, well, like, Drew was like, you know, he's probably like, okay, yeah, I'll check the show out that Andy's talking about. And then he's like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This is, like, almost like, whoa.
Yeah.
Caught you completely off guard, like, to how fucking relatable and good it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people would do that with him, but, like, yeah, it's well worth it. That's a great episode.
And I love the way that the episode ends with Dave and the fan, like, still being Dave and his fan. You know what I mean? And, like,
yeah,
like, that's because that's something you would think might get destroyed based on what happens in the episode. But, it's well, I don't
and
know.
You get that, like, last little thing. That I can say it. I don't think it's like spoiling anything.
Yeah.
But where the dude, the brother, is like, hell yeah, man! It's God. It's awesome. It's awesome to have somebody that's proud to be white. And he's like, that's not what his intention of the song was.
Me and the boys are gonna be cranking your song all summer. Oh God, the fucking boys.
Oh man, it's so funny.
Fuck yeah. That's amazing. That episode is so fucking good. All right, Drew.
All right, I'm going to go with the series finale of Barry.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, shit.
For what that show was, like, so much fun. So much fun. Also, like, you know, again, like, they just, TV finds that balance so well of, because it has the time to fucking, to breathe and do all that kind of stuff. And like we were talking when this game, like it was a fucking, it was like a cinematic masterpiece, like that last.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing.
I don't want to talk about the shit that happens, but like,
right.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing that can happen in TV. That's just not going to happen in a movie necessarily is, so when the show started, Bill Hader directed like the first episode and then he kind of gave the shit away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he did like an episode here or there. But then by the end of it, apparently the executive producer and all that stuff was like, you just need to direct the whole thing. And I watched some things. She was like, doesn't matter if Martin Scorsese was there. He was so invested in everything by that fourth season that it was like, you know, these characters the best and all that kind of stuff. Like, you direct season four. And they talked about like how they shot the finale a different way. And then all of a sudden he's like, whoa, I was like too close to editors wouldn't like edit it together properly. because they were like, it just doesn't make sense. So they went and reshot it. And then we got what we got, which like you said, was kind of a cinematic masterpiece. Fucking phenomenal,
dude. Hell yeah. It was such a rewarding ending, I guess you say. Like, you know, I don't think people watch it like were mad, like, you know, and it was just like one of those shows that you're like, yeah, this ended the way it should, which you know, we talked about it when we had that episode with Kevin. Like, there was a lot of season or series finales this year. And that being one of them, so
damn, that was definitely in consideration. Yeah. And then I had a different Dave episode, but like, yeah, yours is probably the better one from Range, so that's cool.
Harrison Avenue was probably the other one I would have gone with, the music video episode, which is fucking amazing as well. But yeah, all right, back to Drew.
Drew, you have best TV show.
I'm going to keep singing this praises because I know this is not one a lot of people have watched all the way through, at least. But again, this is another one that wrapped this year. And in the midst of all these other fucking giants that came to a close or even just starting, Snowfall. The final season of Snowfall was fucking excellent.
Andy wrote the wrong show down.
Yeah, I did. I bet it also began with an S.
It definitely did.
Yeah, no, everybody watches that show, except you guys. But
I want to watch it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to watch Barry first. I'm going to finish the final season of Barry first.
Yeah, absolutely. yeah, dude, Snowfall is... It was so good, and, like, from what I understand, like, it... Whoever picked up the pieces really, like, did, fuck, why am I blanking? Singleton, you know, had his vision in mind. So, the ending, like I said, it was one of those, like, especially way the penultimate episode was, like, you're like, you got done with that episode and you were like, this next one's gonna be fucking insane. And it was more of like an epilogue. And it was like the fucking, but because of the way they did it,
yeah,
it was like, it was so much better than I was anticipating. It wasn't just like big fucking shootouts and all this kind of stuff. You're just like, you're left with this like, oh yeah, that's probably,
yeah, when they hit you with an okie doke, but it's a good okie doke,
yeah, you're like,
that's a cool feeling.
Yeah, it kind of like, if anybody had watched The Shield, it kind of gives you like final episode of Shield vibes, where it's like, yeah, I guess that would be the more real life approach, and like not everybody goes down guns blazing.
Whoops, I thought about the show The Commission instead, and I was thinking way differently. I was like, huh?
Commission. But yeah,
I like that. I like to feel like an idiot.
Yeah. I got you twice already.
Me too.
You did, yeah.
I live my life like feeling like an idiot every day. I love it.
But yeah.
Ignorance is bliss, you know?
Through that.
That's right. All right, over to me.
And Miss Bliss is a teacher.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
And she's ignorant.
I'm going to go with an Apple TV show that this was the exact show I needed at the exact time that I found it. And I fucking loved every second from beginning to fucking end. And I'm going with Shrinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was,
she would have been, had we had the breakout, actress thing still, actor or actress, she would have been my pick. Is Jessica Williams.
Jessica Williams at Gabby. Yeah. So fucking good. The three shrinks in the show, Harrison Ford, Paul, Jason Segel, Jimmy, and Jessica Williams and Gabby, like, so fucking good. Everything about this show is so fucking good. Like, yeah. I love it so much. And I'm rewatching right now Scrubs. Like, I just have it on whenever I'm going to sleep at night. And I realize now that the Dr. Cox's ex-wife is actually the next door neighbor. And I never even put that together until just now while I was saying.
Oh yeah, so it's Bill Lawrence who created Scrubs. He's
created this show too.
Yeah, he's done.
Oh my god,
he's done Spin City, Scrubs.
Jeez. And I was just watching fucking episodes of Spin City because that show is so fucking good too.
Cougar Town, Ted Lasso, and Shrinking.
Man, now I gotta watch Cougar Town. I bet you that's a good show. If Bill
that's
Lawrence,
the one that was based on Sarasota, Florida.
Oh really? Mm-hmm. Bill Lawrence, I must be fucking in love with this guy because everything he does like speaks to me
directly.
He did
Undateable, which I fucking loved.
Fuck.
So there's also I remember seeing it. I think maybe Krista Miller's page has it, but like after each episode, she was doing because she was the music supervisor.
Yeah,
So she was doing like breakdowns of like ever all the music she picked for the songs or for the episode.
Oh, okay.
And then there's the one that like Zach Braff actually directed. She was like, she said, like she's very like she took ownership a lot over that. And then she said that she's like, but the one person I knew I could trust with picking music was Zach Braff because they have such like similar tastes. Mm. So like. He actually got He was the only director that got to pick his own music.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's crazy. And I mentioned Garden State when you mentioned Cash earlier, too. Full circle.
Yeah.
But Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Lawrence was an executive producer on fucking Ted Lasso, too.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and then, well...
but Harrison Ford, you're right.
Brett Goldman, actually, I think, helped create Shrinking with Bill. Roy Kent.
Oh, Brett Goldstein. Yeah.
Goldstein,
Roy Kent.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What
created
the
by
fuck
Bill
is
Lawrence,
happening?
Jason Segel, Brett Goldstein.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Somebody
yeah, I actually
fucking...
saw something where it was talking about, like, when, like, Brett met fucking Harrison Ford, and he's like, he, like, had him over to his apartment. He's like, yeah, I love the script. And he's like, he said he looked around, and there's, like, a bunch of scripts, and he's like, my script? Like... Are you sure you're talking about the right one? He's like, Shrinking. He's like, yeah. He's like, I really want to do this. And he's like, okay, awesome.
I don't know who he's doing, but Brett Goldstein's going to be a voice in the Garfield movie.
Fuck. Dude, yeah.
Cool. But yeah, I'm just going to have to follow what Brett Goldstein's doing from now on.
Fuck yeah. What a fucking crazy ride. I feel like I'm shrinking right now with all this information.
Dude.
My God.
Well, I'm not going with a show that starts with S.
All right, Andy.
I thought, like, I was going to go with so many other TV shows, but, like, this is the one that's just lived with me the most. It had episodes that I think Drew and myself could have had as episode of the year. My favorite one from the show, Copenhagen. But I'm going to go with The Bear, season 2.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Like, they took the show in a completely different direction and still hit as hard as season 1 did while elevating the characters that they already had and taking them a completely different direction. Like, it's awesome. Like, the fact that it's the same people, the same place, but totally different characters from season 1 to season 2.
Yeah.
It's, if you've seen it, like, you know how good it is. And this is another thing where I'm like, you know, kind of the TV thing, because how it starts and then how it ends. And, like, I don't know, it's almost harder to get there in like a 2 or a 3 hour movie.
Yeah.
If you can, you're elite at what you do. But in a TV show, you're able to kind of, like, pivot and do all these things. So, like, who they were in the first season episode to who they were at the end of the series or the end of the season is, like, absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Well, you take, like, and even the episode, like, the Christmas episode, like, which was, you know, I there's probably so many people that are screaming.
They're
like,
going to write about that. They're going to write
like,
about
why
that.
Did you, how did you guys not class. Pick this? Yeah. But, like, yeah, I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis is fucking brilliant in it, but it also just, you being able to go back, like, it really, like, opens up the window to all these fucking people's quirks that they still have today.
Yeah.
Like, this one event that happened 9 years ago or whatever it was. Like, it's such a fucking brilliant show.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Dude, and how they shoot food.
Yeah.
It's so sexy.
I have The Bear to look forward to. I haven't seen any of it yet.
Oh my God.
I've been fucking sleeping on this bitch.
Yeah.
It's gonna blow your mind.
I'm in hibernation up in this bitch. You know what I mean?
I feel like, James, I think you would you know, I think it has, you know, the potential to be, like, you know, on a shrinking level for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, hell yeah. I need to watch it. I know I do. I'm so behind on everything. I keep, like, wanting nostalgia lately. I just keep watching all this old shit that I love.
I hear you. I bounce back and forth, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we all kind of did it with the musical tastes from last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went back to nostalgia. It was like a... All right, let's get fucking grounded again before we get back up.
I'm watching, like, 4 different shows right now, so...
Yeah.
Crazy.
Scrubs is really, like, just my nighttime show, so it's not, like, a real thing, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I fall asleep
watching
to
movies
it.
And basketball. That's pretty much it right now.
Yeah.
But I'm ahead of our show with Wes for March before we have the Grammys. I'm now in a lot better shape.
Okay.
Because I backloaded the year in movies. But going back to TV,
mm-hmm.
we have best streaming show.
Yeah.
So shows that are on streaming networks. And I'm excited because we've gotten to mention all of these different awesome shows. But we haven't mentioned this one yet. And it was a spinoff and it fucking hit. Give me Gen V.
Ooh.
Yeah. Dude, there's so many scenes that just live rent-free in my head. And the characters and how they're spinning it. Like, how it's a different thing, but also it how they're doing their, like, whole universe or whatever is, like, the universe outside of, like, Spider-Man. They're the best, like, universe, like, type shit going on right now. Is the boys in Gen V and, like, Spider-Man. That, you know, those are those are the things. But also they have scenes like BJ mentioned it when she was on because she had seen it already. She had got a screener or whatever. And she's like, all I'm going to say is the puppet scene. And holy shit, was she right.
Yeah.
The puppet scene was amazing. The girl shrinking down and just bouncing down was one of the wildest things I feel like I've ever seen on TV. That was crazy. Like, just so much that happened in that show. The character development and like how these things, Gen V and the boys are kind of going to connect is like so interesting and all that kind of stuff. For me, this is kind of the Marvel cinematic world that people were interested in. Before this is like the thing that I'm interested in that has,
yeah,
you know, that going on.
Yeah.
It's super entertaining, like, everything that has to do with that whole universe, the boys, Gen V, all of it.
Yeah, it's like that X-Men when they were, like, in school, but, like, for the boys, you know, audience. It's perfect. It's awesome.
X-Men First Class?
Yeah.
When they're in school? It's like when the X-Men are held over for Christmas break and Paul Giamatti is there.
Dude, the holdovers with Paul Giamatti and Wolverine. You really find out a lot about Wolverine.
Oh, professor, my professor.
when Scott gets to go on that that skiing trip.
You know? Yeah. And it Scott's such a
has to stay behind.
Scott's such a racist dick.
Everybody's going off in that helicopter.
Yeah.
All right. Pardon me. Best streaming show. All right. I think we're going to be magically whisked away to Disney Plus, which brought us Ahsoka this year, and that show was so fucking good that it made...
Dude, you guys just took my two picks.
Like... Oh, shit. Sorry, buddy.
Wow.
Ahsoka, I loved it so much that I went back, and I've been dreading it my entire life of going back and watching the fucking Star Wars... not Rebels. What's the other one? What's the one I watched?
Clone Wars,
yeah. So, like, I tried to watch Clone Wars years ago, and I was like... I'm not watching this shit. And then I watch Ahsoka, and it was so fucking good that I had to see her story. So it, like, made me interested in that. You know what I mean? And
it's
fucking...
It's crazy a movie or a show that comes out that much later...
I know.
...gets you interested in the thing that you hated.
I know.
Back in the day.
And there's, like, a scene in Ahsoka where it flashes back to her as a little girl... And it's the Ahsoka of the Clone Wars, like, and it's, oh my god.
It's the girl who plays the voice,
And it's the way that they fucking did it, like, it was so fucking good. Like, man.
What movies, that's an interesting one, what movies that sucked could you put a TV show or a movie out for and then you tie in some of the things from the first movie, and all of a sudden you watch the first movie, and you're like, oh, I get it now. You know what I'm saying? Because is there other shit you could do that with?
Yeah, well, I guess the problem with this is Clone Wars doesn't suck. It was just I was like, when it came out, I was like getting out of high school, and I was like, I'm not going to watch some fucking cartoon. You know what I mean? Like,
you do Soulless Man and make Soul Man. Okay.
I'm not going to lie, like that the Star Wars cartoon artwork, like, I don't know. I'm still not a fan of it.
Well, dude, I didn't really used to like it either because it has kind of like a marionette feel to it, like almost like marionette puppets. But once I got into it, it started in my mind. I was almost like blending it into real life. They started to look like real life people. Like, like that's how fucking good it is. And that show is written and created so fucking good. Like, I don't know. Ahsoka might be like my favorite Star Wars character now. Based on her trajectory and, like, I don't know.
All I'm hearing is we need to make a Jar Jar Binks TV show.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's have Jar Jar bounce around and break a bunch of shit for a few.
Gungan Warrior.
And he was actually in Clone Wars a couple episodes. And actually, if you go online on message boards, the episodes that Jar Jar is in, lowest rated episodes in the entire series. Everyone fucking hates them. You thought I was going to say people love them. You thought that. All right, Drew.
All right. So, yeah, James, technically you took my two picks because my first pick was going to be Shrinking.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then my second pick would have been Ahsoka. But I'll take another one. You can't find on Netflix or Tubi, and I'm gonna go with I just fucking had it. Oh, The After Party season 2.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, we fucking, you know, that was it is our jam. We fucking love this show, and I was kind of like, honestly, like, as much as I loved it, I was like, all right, how are they gonna do a season 2?
Yeah, I know.
Like, it was like, oh yeah, they fucking did it all right, and I was even more hooked in season 1.
Yeah, and season 3, I want to see like Tiffany Haddish and Anique be like start their own business. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, that's where I think it's going now.
Yeah, yeah. They're just private detectives.
Yeah, yeah.
But God, it's so fun how they change. You know, from style, from Jane Austen to fucking Wes Anderson to all of these different things.
Spy thriller.
Yeah.
The spy thriller. Yeah.
Yeah.
Found footage episode, which is how I was able to figure it out.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Fuck.
And like, yeah, it's brilliant. And they could keep doing this because of, you know, the new characters that they bring on and then the style that they shoot in.
Yeah,
like it never gets boring or old, you know.
Hell yeah, it's fucking awesome. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. Can't wait for the next version of it.
Yeah. All right, Drew, you're back on the board with best character in a TV show.
All right, so the reason I didn't want to get one of those two is because this is where I'm going to double dip, and I'm going to go with Richie from The Bear.
Yeah.
To me, his trajectory this year was fucking amazing.
The really, first episode?
Yeah. I mean, and then capping it all off with the fucking, you know, the Taylor Swift, like, that thing has just been like, you know, I don't know how many times I've seen that on a different person's story this year. Like, it's just like, I think that like everybody fucking loves that scene of him just fucking cruising around in his fucking sports car, just jamming out, like crying to fucking Taylor and yelling halfway through. Yeah. Oh, God damn it. But, yeah, dude, like, yeah. And then like his whole, I wear suits now. I'm a suit guy.
Yeah. Oh man. It's,
yeah.
Once you see like just his trajectory, you're going to be like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Especially like from where, like, because he's really like almost completely like ostracized by the end of season 1.
Yeah.
Okay. And for him to come around, like, is pretty fucking amazing.
It's well, and it was one of the more realistic versions of things that I've actually seen happen in, like, real life, where, like, somebody just fucking puts it together and all of a sudden, like, wow, this person that just couldn't fucking figure things out or life out in any sort of way, something hit and they're, like, on a trajectory that it's like, holy shit, look what they did.
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing, man.
Yeah.
You love to see somebody turn it around, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a very, like, you know, it's because I, you know, I think we've all had that happen to, like, you just hear, like, one sentence and it could be, like, of this big thing. And you're just like, that one little bit is, like, the one thing that sticks with you. Like, fuck, yeah. Like, how have I never put that together like that? You know?
Yeah.
Every second counts, guys.
There, man.
Every second counts.
That's right. Oh, shit. What a pick.
All right. Back to me. And, you know, I kind of talked about it with my episode, but I'm going Gata from Dave as my
character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because every time he's on screen, every episode that has any bit of his story, it becomes his episode. Like, he fucking takes it over 100%. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the whole bipolar stuff and, like, dealing with that and his upbringing and, oh, my God. I don't know. It's just,
yeah, even in that Atlanta episode where he has to, like, you know, like, his boy that, like,
he's taking a picture and he's fucking basically saying we're no longer cool.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, he had to, like, man up in that moment, which was really cool.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. But yeah, I like just the arc of what he's got going on. And
when someone gets at him, you're not winning that scene.
I know. Yeah.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're a fucking bee in a beekeeper orgy, you know? You're not winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Ugh, that old cliche.
You know, you're just like one of those bees in a beekeeper orgy, you know? Let's make that a normal thing that people say. You guys are coming out this like a bee in a beekeeper's orgy, you know? What the fuck are you guys doing?
Yep.
All right, Andy.
Sometimes they hit, sometimes you absolutely fucking nail it.
sometimes you do an opposite of it being a beekeeper's orgy.
Yeah. All right, I'm double dipping too. Drew double dipped off me, taking Richie from the Bear. I am double dipping off Drew, and this is one of my favorite TV characters of all time.
Yeah.
No holds barred. This dude steals the scene whenever he's in it. And he was the pivotal thing in the season finale of Barry, the series finale. Give me No Ho Hank.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No Ho Hank.
Hey, Barry.
See if you vibe with me here. No Ho Hank is to Barry what Omar is to The Wire.
Yeah. Get that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I haven't seen The Wire, so I can't get that reference.
Dude, No Ho Hank, one of the most hilarious, like, characters in television history.
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah.
It's not another, fucking close.
Another scene stealer.
Yeah, that's whenever he's in it. Like, the one time, well, it was equal. Because it was him and Fuchs. Oh my goodness. That's all I gotta say. You know what you know.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, man, No Ho Hank, like, can you imagine No Ho Hank just like in other movies?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Unfortunately, like, it's gonna be like,
dude, No Ho Hank in the new Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Oh yeah.
Playing like the Bronson Pinchot character, but like No Ho Hank style. Like, we should just do a whole draft of No Ho Hank in this movie.
That would be really fucking funny, actually.
Like, NoHo Hank is you know, Joe Pesci in Home Alone.
Oh, God. That would have ended much worse for Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, did you order some pizza?
Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh. I always just love, like, the way that show integrated technology to, like, I mean, this isn't a NoHo thing, but, like, I mean, it was, like, sometimes, but, you know, like, I just go back to, like, season one when he sent that message about, like,
yes.
Hey, like, hey, did you kill the guy? But he sent it with, like, the balloons or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's just so fucking funny. Like, such a stupid fucking thing.
Oh, dude. Yeah, he's just. Who would have thought that that guy makes you fucking, like, tear up, like, at the end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What a character.
Hell yeah. All right, Andy. Best comedian.
Of the year. I'm going somebody, like, I checked a couple people's lists. Nobody had this dude. But I don't give a shit. He had his best special he's ever had. It was the absolute end. He wasn't even the dude, like, involved in it. But he had the better version of it. No disrespect to Chris Rock. The person that handled the Will Smith, Chris Rock, Jada thing the best was Marlon Wayans. Marlon Wayans, like, absolutely crushed this special. Because he went over everything, like, because he was in.
He was like, fuck them all. You know,
well, and he was like friends with Tupac for a while.
Yeah.
He was with Jada at the time, and then Jada was broken up, and then he was really good friends with Jada, and then all of a sudden, like, Will started coming around, and, like, you know, he was like, you know, it's a perspective that's absolutely wild, and he does, like, a whole special on it, and it's fucking incredible.
And all of his history with Chris Rock, too, like, that, dude, as well.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
It's incredible, and, like, I love that Marlon Wayans, like, he still looks like he's 30. He's done all these spoof comedies and all that kind of stuff, but, like, he's big enough to where he doesn't have to try to, like, get better and better at the craft of stand-up comedy, but he loves it so much that he just kept going. And finally he had something that, like, hit, but, I saw him in person. Like, he was absolutely hysterical. It was very Jim Carrey-esque with, like, the physical comedy that he was doing. It's just, I fucking love that dude. He's one of my favorites of all time. And, I'm so happy that he had a special that absolutely murdered.
The slap was like a perfect storm for him. Because it was like he had all of these personal stories and personal, like,
that nobody else would have.
And stuff that you haven't even heard before, too. So, like, it was, right, like, prime for a fucking special, the way he did it.
He was like Charlie Murphy talking about Eddie Murphy in France, right?
Yeah. It was great. It was absolutely great.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. We haven't really talked about this guy too much, but for whatever reason, like, I've been getting into him. I know he's probably a bit controversial with some of the stuff he says, but I don't think that he says anything in a way that he's, like, trying to, like, shit on anybody. You know what I mean? And I'm going with Shane Gillis.
His
special Beautiful Dogs was so fucking funny.
He had a fucking year, man.
He had a fucking year. And I went back and I started watching some of his, like, bits and stuff that he did with the Gilly and... I forget the name of the thing or whatever. But, like, one of the clips that I always keep seeing all the time, I went back to watch, like, the actual full episodes. But one of the clips that I keep seeing is, like, the plane going down and everybody's calling their loved ones and he calls this old, like, fucking car place that, like, fucked up his car, and he's like, I'm gonna come down there and I'm gonna whoop your fucking ass, like, the plane's going down, and he chose to call somebody that, like, fucked his shit up one time, and he wants to, like, fuck their shit up, and that's, it's so fucking funny to me. And I went back and was watching some of their things, and one of the things that they had was, like, this guy owned a dealership called Isis Toyota. And he's like, we're not terrorists. He has to keep saying how they're not terrorists so that they can sell Toyotas. And it's just, it's really fucking funny.
And all over the podcast scene as well.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, he'll be on fucking Joe Rogan's podcast, and Joe Rogan will say some wild shit, and Shane Gillis will be like, are you sure that's right? Because I'm pretty sure that that's not right. And then they would look it up, and they'd be like, yeah, it's not right. And Joe would be like, oh, okay. So, like, he's calling Joe Rogan out on his own fucking show and shit, which I like that about him, too.
Yeah. He's wild. Like, he's I can understand why we like him, because here's his biggest stand-up influences. Louis C.K., Norm Macdonald, Dave Chappelle, Patrice O'Neill, Bernie Mac, and Bill Burr.
Oh, fuck, yeah. I mean,
like, come on now. Yeah, that's like all the comedians we all love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he also has, it's not from this special, but he has this bit that just fucking drives me insane how hilarious it is. And it's about Donald Trump being the funniest president to ever see get assassinated. Because he'd be up on stage, like, talking shit or whatever. He'd be like, sit down, shut up, or whatever. And the guy would just shoot him, and he would make, like, a sound. Like, he even says, like, he's like, he would make, like, a weird sound. Like, he would be like, ugh. I just love that. That bit is so funny to me, but
some of his self-aware humor is so good.
Yeah.
Just about himself and, like, how he looks and, like, all that. Like, him cutting himself down is, like, he's so good at it.
Having Down syndrome, because he has Down syndrome in his family or whatever, so he always jokes that, like, I was grazed by it. I didn't get, like, directly, but I was grazed by it.
Oh, man.
But then he talks about, the way he talks about Down syndrome people, too, is very, like, equality, because he's got them in his family. So he, like, he's like, you tell somebody about that, like, you have a family member Down syndrome, and you're like, they're like, oh, is it, are they okay? And he's like, yeah, they're better than anyone I fucking know. He's like, sorry, they're not on fucking antidepressants and shit. But yeah, I really like him. I think he's fucking cool. So Shane Gillis,
hell yeah.
All right, Drew.
Just because I think I've picked her before, I'm going to stay away from Michelle Wolf, even though I might, I mean, from seeing her live this year, we might all be talking about her next year, because the shit she's touring around right now is fucking amazing.
Her live show is so fucking incredible.
It's going to be hard to beat Cat Williams in 2024.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Let's see his special.
Yeah.
His 13th special.
Yeah.
We'll hear about this one.
And you will be able to find it on Netflix or Tubi. I'm going to go with, again, I think he's caught a little bit of the, you know, the, I don't want to say it because he is talented, but, you know, the little bit of the coattail from the fucking Machine this year and everything like that. But Tom Segura's new special this year was fucking phenomenal. Like, the shit about, like, getting his mom high, like, it's just fucking great. Like, it was it was one of the better laughs I've had. So
that was awesome.
And he has, like, you know, one of the biggest podcasts they have moments constantly that I go back to, and really it stems from Bert being an absolute fucking maniac, and then Tom knowing the right way to poke and prod at it.
Dude, one of the funny, like, you show me the Kool-Aid thing, which is fucking hilarious, but the absolute funniest thing is when Tom got fucking Bert the Nazi, like, probably Hitler's, like, fucking tea dish.
Oh my god.
And he's just like, he's laughing so hard. He's like, this is the worst fucking press. He's like, I can't throw it away. Or he's like, you know, like, am I supposed to destroy it? Am I supposed to give it to a museum? Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
I can't even believe they did that either, because isn't it, like, super illegal to even trade in that shit or whatever? Like,
I think he said he got it off the black market.
Yeah, you have to go. I've seen that clip too. That shit's fucking crazy.
And then like the thing about like was it Tom's kid that fucking got Burt water or whatever? Where he's like he got it out of the toilet.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Shit's awesome. I'm going to see him live this year too.
Nice. Hell yeah. At some point. Tom's a beauty.
I think we might have some extra tickets, so I'll be hitting you guys up.
Don't we have to travel for it though?
It's in Tampa.
Oh, okay.
One of us would have to.
Yeah.
I thought that was the one you were going to Las Vegas for.
No, Vegas is for a concert.
Oh, okay.
When we were young, that's a bunch of like pop punk bands from back in the day.
Oh, that tour, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. All right, we got a triple header here. Drew, you're up with best viral moment, best podcast, and best draft pod of the year.
Okay, so viral moment, I'm going to go fucking our girl, Gail Lewis, baby. Stole all of our hearts.
Oh, Gail Lewis. Oh, my God.
Gail Lewis, American hero.
She's amazing.
Dude, I ended up getting my buddy a Gail Lewis shirt for Christmas. It's got Mount Rushmore and then her as a fifth face on there.
Oh my God. I hope Gail Lewis is making money off of her like
dude,
this.
Dude, she's doing signings and shit like that. Did you see the thing about the signed vest?
They did it on Golden Ink. They sold it on fucking Ken Golden thing.
Yeah, I don't even know what the fuck it ended up going for, but they said like I remember watching this video of she signed a Walmart like high-vis vest, and within like at that point it was like within 4 hours it was already up to $20,000, and like within like a day it was already up over like a couple $100,000. Like it's fucking crazy. But
I want to look it up to see what it actually went for.
Yeah. So best podcast. I always try to go with something new that I've kind of listened to this year. Or, you know, maybe started. So I'm going to go Scrumpager's Music Box.
Hell yeah.
This is probably, you know, one of the more feedback things I get on a regular basis with you know, hitting everybody's musical taste. So Andy was a guest 2 weeks ago. James will have to get you on at some point.
Hell yeah.
But, yeah. And then finally, I'm going to go with...
play all the Dave Matthews Band songs you want to hear.
Exactly.
That's why they haven't got me on yet.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the fourth movie sequel, because that was the one where the family got back together for, I think, the final time this year. So, you know, we were a little spaced out at the beginning of the year, and it was good to have everybody back, and that was the beginning of it. So, like,
yeah.
It just wasn't the same without fucking James here. So, like, that was the return.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the return, and it's been fucking, you know, it's been a great year. So, I think it's, for all the shittiness, it's been a fucking great year. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Damn. Okay.
All right, back to me. I'm going to go with best viral moment. I'm going to go with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and just watching that whole thing unfold. I'm still into it now, which is stupid as hell, and I hate to admit it, but it's true. Yeah. When they show her up in that booth at those games, you know, I get so excited.
You know what it is?
You know, I'm still a... Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah, you know, I still, like, I saw this meme, I don't know, 6 months ago. Way before they were even, maybe not together, but at least publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And like, anytime anybody mentions Taylor Swift now, it's all I can think of is there was a meme that said, Taylor Swift music are for girls who give toothy head. and I just like, it's the funny, it was the funniest thing because it makes sense. Like, I don't know why, but it makes sense. And I just laugh every time I hear Taylor Swift's name now, because that's the hilarious. First thing that fucking pops into my head.
It's funny.
I was gonna say it's
funny. Or especially if somebody's like, yeah, I'm a Taylor Swift fan.
Oh, man.
Get this over with swiftly.
Yeah. It is like real life Barbie and Ken.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even though my love life fell apart, I still believe in love. So I guess that's why I'm watching it, you know?
Yep,
I hope these kids make it.
You know?
Yeah. Do you believe in best podcast, I'm going with Sunday Conversation with Caleb Pressley.
Caleb Pressley, hell yeah.
Yeah. These things come out and I fucking die every time. I love his misdirection. So I love his questions that give misdirection, like constant. Like, it's so fucking funny. He's a master. It's a master class.
He is.
And then for best draft pod of the year, I'm not going to pick 10 things I love about they love about James, which I love that episode, but it's really just for me, not for anybody else. So I'm gonna pick made up cereals, which it's a hilarious fucking episode.
Fuck, that is what I had.
Oh fuck.
You didn't put any backups.
Dildos.
Dill flavored O's.
You didn't use milk, you used orange juice or whatever the fuck it was.
It was just recommended. You know, you can use whatever you want.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, while I figure out the draft pod episodes that I want to fucking take, geez. I'll go with, I think it was fucking hilarious and it got weird and it got people feeling super uncomfortable. I'll go with the Grimace Shake.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That shit was weird as fuck.
Dude, it was. It also made me feel like hope for the youth.
Yeah, yeah.
Cause I'm like, this is fucking strange. I'm into it.
Yeah, and then I mean, yeah, especially the fucking memes that came after was just like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fucking weird, and I liked it because of that. So, so that's the one I'll go with for viral. Podcast, James, you sent a lot of these clips too. It's just somebody that I weirdly kind of relate to the weirdness and random thinking that this dude has at times, and he's fucking hilarious. I'm going this past weekend with Theo Vaughn.
Oh, dude. Theo fucking kills me. Just the way that he says things. And, like, he is kind of like a super famous Andy Liner in a way. Like, the way that he says things and, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes he says stuff and I'm like, I get it. And then, like, I can tell the other person doesn't. but yeah, he's fucking great. He's, I love his unique style of like humor and just his ability to just be completely himself.
I like his riffs and I like his stories. And I also like that I don't know if any of it is real or what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause it's always like a new, like name of a person, this guy in my town growing up or whatever. And he always gives a name to him, was Greg. Or, you know, whatever the fuck.
Exactly.
It's so funny.
Oh, it's fucking great. And then for the last one, I'll go with the last one we just had. I'll do the New Year drinking game.
Okay.
Because I got to hang out with you guys. We had a good time. We played a bunch of different games. And at the end of the day, when everything is fucking all done, those are the things that I'll fucking remember the most, you know?
Do I want to burn my Stiltskin and make him keep one that's 2024?
That's true.
And an honorable mention.
An honorable mention,
I get to hang out with you, too.
Yeah.
You're like, shit pick.
Wrong!
It's like, yeah, Andy, that was nice and all, but you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. I almost went, I think you should leave, because in the moment for all of us, it was hilarious. But I also feel like
we were just cheesing the entire time. We got
Yeah, dude.
It's us laughing nonstop.
If somebody hasn't watched the show, that's a fucking awful episode.
Yeah. You gotta watch every episode before you watch that show.
Right. And you have to be kind of like as into it as we are. You can't just like, all right, that was cool.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know if I've known anybody that's watched it though and has been like, that was cool. Like, everybody's like, show's the fucking best.
Yeah.
I feel like I can easily say that if you don't like it, maybe I don't fuck with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that is the shit that I fuck with heavy.
Yeah.
Tim Robinson was made for us, I feel like. You know what I mean? Like, 100%. He was built for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, what a fucking year in, you know, music, movie, TV, all that shit. Like, my final takeaway from, like, 2023 is it was the fucking year of TV. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yep. It was fucking, and we had to add a category, you know?
And the draft pod was so shitty in 2023, you had to pick something from 2024.
Well, it happened before...
That's why I said it. It wasn't the hangout thing. It was that it came out on the second.
Andy was offended for other reasons.
I know.
I was like, damn, like, meant something to me.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
No, that one was. It was a fucking blast. Yeah,
we recorded it on like the 30th. So that counts. We'll give it to you. You know?
Yeah.
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 And also, you know,
it's honorable mentions.
I really appreciate you guys and everybody coming together for the 10 things we love about James. Cause
that was a fun episode.
Dude, that was fucking pulling teeth trying to get everybody on there though.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just
I was gonna say, what the fuck?
I don't want to fucking do this.
Yeah. Dude, I filmed my little response to you guys, but like that, I'm telling you, I couldn't listen to that without just fucking curling up into a fucking ball and crying. So,
dude, I was you sent that and you sent it like what, through a Dropbox or something, right?
Yeah, I couldn't send it like full.
Yeah, because like
wild maneuver.
Well, I you know, Daniel fucks up our text thread, so
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and it was like 3 minutes long, so
right.
Yeah. Which would have been fine for iMessage, but I was on a walk like at like doing my at the river walk, and I was just like, oh cool, James sent a thing, so like I hit play, and now like I'm walking and I'm like walking by the skate park just like crying myself because James is like, I'm sitting in the car. I was like, fuck. Yeah.
I get it though. Like, when I was out and you guys did that thing, it fucking meant something to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking dead. So, I completely get it. 7 years.
Yeah.
Fucking in literally a month in an episode. We will have done 7 years without missing a fucking week.
I know. That's fucking crazy. That's commitment. You know what I mean?
Dude.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I fucking ended a marriage so I could keep doing this with you guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She did. She, he was, he, James was like, he's like, you got to check out this show. I think you should leave. And she was like, I don't like this. And he was like, I think you should leave.
Oh, man.
Fuck.
Should we read the picture? Just leave it at that.
Yeah.
I don't know. They can go fucking listen to it.
Yeah, I don't think they need to. Yeah. Need to.
We're
going to
recap it next year anyway, so who gives a shit?
Yeah. We're going to read it. Yeah, we'll recap it at the beginning of next year's episode.
We'll read it anyway.
For that being said, for all the jabroni you peoples, loves you, bitch.